The cost of running a college has far outpaced inflation in the past 35 years. At the Ivy, Dartmouth College in Hanover, New Hampshire, costs have gone up tenfold since 1981. But the school's president, Philip Hanlon, is trying to tackle the problem. In his second story of an ongoing series, Why College Costs So Much, WBUR's Fred Tice this morning looks at Hanlon's efforts.
Philip Hanlon is committed to transparency in Dartmouth's budget. In fact, last year, he taught a class on the budget.
Well, we're turning away nearly 90% of our customers, so if we were doing supply and demand, we would greatly increase our costs.
Hanlon had been wondering why the cost of going to Dartmouth goes up so much each year.
If you look at any kind of reasonable rate of inflation, what you'll see is that the cost of higher ed nationally have gone up 2 to 3% above that amount for about 40 years in a row.
Colleges have covered part of their rising costs by increasing tuition, room, board, and fees.
This historic funding model of having the costs go up that much, the sticker price go up that much, is unsustainable and probably near the breaking point.
Hanlon's worried that if colleges don't do something about the rising price of college, the government will.
I think the most obvious comparison is healthcare, and healthcare is another sector where you've seen comparable rises in costs above inflation for an extended period of time. And in the healthcare sector, the government is actively figuring out how they will intervene.
So Hanlon has taken steps at Dartmouth to curtail increases in costs. In the Ivy League, he's taking a leadership role.
Most of our costs are people.
Hanlon says overall, the personnel costs have risen with inflation. So he wondered what else could explain the rise in costs and found one factor is more financial aid.
We have very generous financial aid at Dartmouth.
But financial aid only accounts for 1 or 2% a year of the growth in costs over inflation. That still leaves another 1% unaccounted for. Hanlon has concluded that 1% can be accounted for like this. Dartmouth, like most schools, keeps adding new programs, but does not eliminate old ones.
We have not looked at our current spend and said, okay, what's the least effective 1% to 2% of that spend that we can stop doing so we can do these cool new innovations?
So Hanlon told each of the schools at Dartmouth, the college, the engineering school, the medical school, and the business school, to reallocate 1.5% of its spending. Each school must cut 1.5% of its budget every year. It then has to spend that money on something new. Now, this poses a challenge, especially as Dartmouth looks to replace traditional, less expensive forms of education, such as lectures, with more expensive methods of teaching.
Think about with me for a moment about developing the confidence to innovate and take risks. You don't get that, as I said, by sitting in a lecture hall and having someone talk to you, or by opening up your laptop and watching a lecture. You have to develop that confidence by trying, by doing, by taking risks, by failing, by being coached, by trying again.
And coaching students requires more interaction between faculty and students than lecturing them, so it's more expensive. So far, reallocating 1.5% of the budget has been relatively easy. The engineering school, for example, has cut the positions of people who've retired from departments it wants to shrink and move them to departments it wants to grow. Joseph Helbley is dean of the Thayer School of Engineering at Dartmouth.
So if someone with expertise in general computational area retires, for example, or someone whose expertise is in the area of optics, what we will do is take that position and put them in these other areas, energy and in the biomedical area, to be part of our longer-term strategic growth.
At the College of Arts and Sciences, where Michael Mastanduno is the acting dean, some programs in Germany and France are being replaced by programs in film and media studies in Hollywood, Native American studies in Santa Fe, and environmental studies in South Africa.
Say if there are three or four programs in one area, we might want to reallocate that program, say it's in Europe, to one in Asia or Africa or some other place where there's increasing student demand, but traditionally we haven't had programs, and we use this opportunity to do that.
So far, reallocating funding has been relatively easy, but Dean Helbley points out that soon he'll run out of retiring faculty positions to cut. Many of the rest will be tenure-track positions already filled with people not about to retire, and that will make rebudgeting harder.
And once those costs are associated with a tenured faculty line, you don't have the latitude to make changes there. And so the fraction of your total budget that can be reallocated is smaller than it would be in the private sector, but it's trying to help us approach budgeting with the same kind of strategic decision making.
Helbley welcomes the challenge.
We're trying to create a culture where all of us who are heading academic units are doing what we would normally do routinely in the private sector. Look at your budget at the end of each year. Ask yourself which investments, which activities are being productive in the way that you had intended and which aren't core to your long-term mission, and then make decision to reallocate.
Alumni are also welcoming Philip Hanlon's decision to take on rising college costs. And Hanlon is getting encouraging results with his experiment. This year, Dartmouth saw the smallest tuition increase since 1977. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Fred Tice.